You guys okay? Yeah? It was really good. Listen, before we sit down, I want to pray. I'm glad I'm a group, I'm part of a group of Christians that, here, let me tell you a story. Somebody came and visited one time, and they were just going to be here 1 week. And they said, hey, you do something that we've never seen in a church before. And I said, what's that? And they said, you have background music while you're speaking. And I thought for a second, and then I realized, oh, that's Evan. He's playing his music in the back, right, or playing it in the front like he is right now. And I thought, that's good. It's good. A couple weeks ago, we're having service, and I saw Sage get out and walk right down here. And we were sitting down, and he crossed his legs and sat right down here. I think that's good. He came and sat with me today and gave me a necklace that I didn't want to put on, so I just put it on as a bracelet. Is okay? Sorry? We're good? Yeah, good. Thank you, Sage. I'm glad I'm part of a group of people like that. I'm also glad I'm part of a group of people that know there are things that we can do. Like, we can encourage. People came and sat with B. People have made sure that they looked at her and helped her where they could. But there's things that are bigger than us, and we get that, right? And that's where God's Spirit, that wind sweeps in. And we don't have to understand it. We just know God's there. And sometimes that pushes us to our knees to pray and thank Him. Sometimes it's just to cry out from our heart. So before we sit down today, we ask this question on a regular basis. How many of you have something in your life or the life of somebody that you love, that you know, that's bigger than you? You can't do anything about it, but you believe God can. If that's true, would you put your hand up? All right. If you got your hand up, keep it up for a second. Keep it up. If you don't have your hand up and you're by somebody who's got their hand up, get over close to them, put your hand on their shoulders. Gus, are you back there in the back? All right, Gus is flying out this week to Detroit. He's got a boxing match there, and I don't know that any other church does this, but we're praying he punches the lights out of the other guy. Doesn't kill him, but lets him know he's met Gus. Don't break his hand in the process. Yeah. So if you're around Gus, surround him. We want to protect him. All right? All right, let's pray. God, thank you that like a fresh breeze, you blow in and you refresh us in a moment where we're down, where we're desperate, where things are bigger than us. And these that raise their hand, they got big things in their lives, bigger than what we can do. We can love them, we can encourage them, we can cheer, we can pray for them. But the things are big. They're things only you can do. Some of those are medical. Some of those are relational. Some of those are just hurts that came from a long time ago that have never healed. We pray that you, that your Holy Spirit moves and heals and changes and does miracles. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Give them a hug. Have a seat. Just kind of reporting back, I did something the last couple days that I've, in all my life of ministry, I've not done before. I did a wedding on Friday evening, and I did a wedding on Saturday. And both of the brides were girls that grew up in our church. And so it was just a blast. And what I wanted to say to you as a church family is that as I was looking into their faces, and they were just glowing. They were beautiful. As I was looking into their faces, I was thinking, is a lot of years of love and encouraging them and teaching them. Some of you have been in children's ministry for years, and you had them down there. Some in youth ministry, you had them. And just wanted you to know, I usually get the fun part of it. Like, I'm the one who gets to stand there and share that moment with them. But I know that their life has been touched by so many. So thank you for that. We're going to receive our offering. If you're visiting with us, please do not feel any responsibility to put offering in, okay? This is for our church family who knows why we're giving. I don't know how many of you knew Jim Benning has been in Haiti all this week. He is here. I don't know. He is preaching a revival for Aculus. And I said, Bonnie, how's he? She texted me earlier in the week and said, I don't know that he's ever more alive than when he's doing this. And I said, how's he doing this morning? She goes, when he gets back, he's probably taking your job. And so be praying for him. I mean, he's been down there, and we've made this little bit of a shift, still Jerusalem Baptist Ministries, but to focus on Aculus Lavictois and his ministries in CAP. And so he had asked Jim to come down, and boy, you don't have to ask twice for that. And he's had a blast, but we want to be praying for him. When we give offering, it's for things like that. It's for ministries here in our community and around the world through our missions. In fact, today in our announcements, there's a new one that we're just introducing to our church. It's called Baskets of Hope. And we just found out about it. Mary Hanford, wave Mary in the back. She is going to be the point person for this. We found out about it just a couple weeks ago and have dug in, and we're going to try and see if we can help some families here in Rockford during Thanksgiving and Christmas, okay? And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But if you're visiting, don't feel any responsibility. If you're part of our church, remember, it is our responsibility, and we take that serious. And here's the two qualities, joy and generosity. When we give, we want to know that's what's in our heart. We're giving, this is fun. We want to, and we want to give in a generous way, okay? I'm going to ask the ushers to come, and then let's pray. Lord, thanks. Thanks for the gifts that you flood on us. Thanks for the gift of being able to watch these two young women who grew up here take this big step in their life. And thank you for the celebration. Thank you for the men that you've brought into their lives. And we pray a blessing on them and their family. Help us to keep doing it. Help us to look at the youngest child here and know that we can pour into them. We can help them in their walk. And then as we give, Lord, I pray that we'll check ourselves every time, make sure we're giving with joy and generosity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Sash, yeah, you can go ahead and clap. Sash, could you go back to the baskets of hope? This is a brand new thing we're going to do. We have asked them if we could help take care of two needy families. This is providing meals for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. And on the ledge, when you go out, Mary, you'll be back there, and Rose and Mary, you two will be back there. So could you just help out with this? Like, they'll have a sticky tab with something that we need. I think there's 17 items, is that right? 17 items? So sign that, and it's coming quickly. We just found out about it. We wish we had been able to, you know, do a little bit more, but this is at least helping some families. So on the way out, make sure you do that. And then Nate, do you have, here's a mic. Want to talk about this this choir?
Oh, yeah. So this year for, I think it might be the first time we've ever done a choir.
It's the first time we've ever
all
done
right.
it.
I am going to be directing and just putting together a choir that we're going to, our first time we're going to sing is going to be on our candlelight service. That is, I think, December 20th. And this is anybody 10 years older and up. If you think you can sing, if you don't think you can sing, if you would like, if you think that you like Christmas music, if maybe being on stage scares you, you can hide behind a bunch of other people that are on stage with you. So seriously, anybody, we're going to have practices starting next week, 12:15, 12:45. And that's going to be pretty structured because I have rehearsals at 1 o'clock on Sunday. So we're going to get out of there in a half an hour. So don't feel like you're going to get stuck or anything. It's going to be fun. I think I'm going to teach you guys a little bit of Latin that we're going to sing. So we're going to have some little culture.
Because we're all hillbillies, I guess. That's where I'm going with it.
It'll be fun. So don't be afraid to come out. There's a sign-up sheet in the back on the ledge, not at the donut counter, but by the door there's a sign-up sheet. You can put your name. If you know what vocal part you sing, then you can write that down. If not, then that's completely fine. We can figure that out. Don't feel stressed out about anything. I'll have music. It'll be easy. It'll be fun. So, yeah, just Good. Come out.
Thanks, Nate.
Oh, yeah? Choir robes?
We're going to say yes just to deceive you, okay, because we're not getting choir robes,
no,
okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go, yeah. Yes, Jer. Say, one more week of tickets. Yeah, the fundraiser, anybody who wants to try and get those tickets, we can't have two questions from the same family unless you sit on the same side. Okay? Lane? Yeah. The Thanksgiving. The Sunday of Thanksgiving. Okay? Can't have any more right now. Yes, Sammy, you got to put your hand down too. Something I was going to say. Oh, Nate is at school. Remember, Nate has grown up here, been a part of the worship team, led many times. He's away at school at Trinity. So why we're able to do this is because he's coming home. He's got his break then. And with his break, he's really wanting to give us some of the things that he's passionate about. So, Nate, thanks for coming and sharing that too. Let me dismiss our teachers, head down to children's ministry. And then, go ahead, preschoolers, you want to go? Anybody who's in preschool, kindergarten through second grade, you want to head down? Third and fourth grade. Then our junior high class, don't go because you're not having class. But listen to me, if you're in the junior high class, but you're also in the kids' Christmas program, please go downstairs. Miss Karen needs you to be down there today. And then Yalt. Yeah, Yalt. Yeah, I got it. If we have two more classes, there's just going to be five of us left in here, right? That's okay. I mean, I love that that it's so specific for these age groups. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thanks. Help us in this room to feel that breeze, to feel that flame. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, we've got a few different places to go. I don't know, and this almost shocked me when I started to check out the history. I don't know that we've done a study on the Holy Spirit except one other time, and it was a long time ago, which is, you know, I guess when it comes down to it, that's not good, so I'm glad we're here. I'm glad we're at this place. One of the reasons is because it's hard to nail down sometimes. When you deal with God's Spirit, Every place you find anything about God's Spirit, there's something very concrete happening, and then something that's the best thing I can say, that's mystical, that's a mystery that goes on. Like, we know it happens, but how? Because we're so geared to our senses, right? We're so geared to, if we can see it, if we can touch it, if we can taste it, then we can understand it better. That's so different with God's Spirit. And that's why he says, walk by faith, not by sight. Because he understands that he gave us these senses, and they're good for a part of our life. But for the wholeness of our life, there's this thing called faith. That is spiritual sight that allows us to see further. One of the songs said, it's seeing the unseen. That's that mystery part. But today I want to try and bring it to a point where it is as concrete as it can be for us. And so in this series, we've chosen metaphors from Scripture that represent, that teach us things about the Holy Spirit. So last week was wind. This week is fire. Next week is water. And Steve Kennedy has asked different people to do things that would be a visual for us. And Jeff has next week, he has water. And he said, hey, when are you going to be at the church building? Because I got water. I got my water thing done, and I'd like to bring in. I said, you know, it's not till next week. He goes, yeah, I'd like to get it in here. So he carries it in, and you know, you'll see it next week. I'm not going to give that away. But you'll see it next week. But he said, well, what's this week? And I said, fire. And he goes, how come I didn't get fire? It's because I know Steve would do this, and I knew you might set the building on fire. Which may have been the best lesson that we ever got. So I'm going to bounce around. I'm going to start at the beginning of the Gospels in Matthew and give you something from John the Baptizer. And then I'm going to go to the just past the end of the Gospels to another verse. And then I'm going to move over one more chapter, okay? So Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John says a bunch of things that we understand, a bunch of things that we get here. He says this, I baptize with water, concrete, like we can get that, right? I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. So water we get, sins we get, right? But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave or carry his sandals. Then it says this, and he's talking about Jesus. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And then he does this connecting thing. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So just want you to keep that in mind. And then we're going to bump over to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If you've been in church very long, you've probably read this verse. You've probably come across it. Jesus has died, been buried, and resurrected. He spent some time with his disciples, and he's giving them final words before his ascension. And he says this, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So he's talked to him about it a little bit, but when you look in the Gospels, it's not like he said a lot about the Holy Spirit. But the closer he comes to the end of his time on earth, the more Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit. And sometime in the next couple weeks, and if you want to write this down and start doing some early reading on it, read John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. Two of the best passages that talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So he kind of gives them something concrete. Like he says, just wait. But soon, something's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to come. And when that happens, it's going to make such a change in your life, such a dramatic change in your life, that everywhere you go, you're going to share a witness about me. So then we bump all the way into the next chapter, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read a handful of verses there. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Listen to this, especially related to last week. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, the Holy Spirit that gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in their own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. So for us, because we're not in this time, and most of us don't come from a Jewish background, and most of us don't come from an Orthodox Jewish background, what we might see in it might be very different than what the people there that day saw. The Jewish mind would immediately go to the history of God's Spirit moving in the past, represented by fire. And so that day, when all this happened, when these disciples, when these God-passionate followers were in that room, and those flames appeared above each one of their heads, there was more than just, "This is unbelievable, this is spectacular." There was a deep connection there. For the Jewish mind, they might have gone back to Moses in the burning bush. Remember that story? The bush that was burning but wasn't consumed, and Moses went to it, and a voice spoke to him. This is that work of God's Spirit. They may have thought of the children of Israel in their Exodus, a cloud by day leading them and a pillar of fire by night. Maybe that was what they were thinking. Mount Sinai, where the Ten Commandments were given. Or maybe the tabernacle offerings. Maybe that's what they were thinking. The Jewish mind might have gone specifically to the history of God's Spirit represented by fire in just that, in burnt offerings. Don't have time to do it, but as they appear up here, you may want to jot these down if you want to do a little bit of research on that fire, the history, the thought in their mind when they saw these flames. It might have been about the burnt offering talked about in Leviticus 9. The priest's responsibility to keep that flame lit at all times, Leviticus chapter 6. And this, the idea that other sources of fire were unacceptable, again, in Leviticus chapter 10. But this morning, instead of going back and maybe thinking through that, what I want to do is ask what it means to us. What did it mean to those people in that moment? What does it mean in the broader picture of our world today? And what can it mean in my life right now? So I chose three words, and again, I don't do this all the time, but sometimes just for my sake, these all start with the same first letter, so it's easier for me to remember. So what was this all about? Can you imagine being there that day and this wind blowing in and these flames appearing and then everybody in that room being filled with God's Spirit? And then everybody in that room starting to talk in other languages that they weren't trained in. And then the commotion of that bringing people down to where they are. You wouldn't probably see it in a town like Rockford. I don't know that you'd see it in a town in America. But if you go to some countries like where Jim's at down in Haiti, if there's a stir in a village, everybody comes. So this stir happened and they all came down. And people who didn't know what was going on just knew. They heard people talking about the wonders of God in their language. This is what I want to connect to this morning. I want to start with this. God's Holy Spirit, represented by fire, talks about His presence. It talks about His nearness. This being in me. So here's the words that it used in chapter 2, verse 2. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's three of the big words that appear in that verse. Wind, fire, and filled. The symbols that we're looking at this month, we're looking at wind last week and fire this week and water next week, three of the four. The fourth week we're looking at the symbol of the dove. And what's God telling us about His Spirit in that? But the three that the first three that we talk about, they're normal in our lives all the time, right? Wind and water and fire, they're normal in our lives all the time. I think this is the idea from wind and fire and filled, is that when the Holy Spirit works, He works in a very basic, elemental way in our lives. Like, again, something very concrete. But He doesn't stop there. It's not just about what's basic. It's about what's miraculous. So this may be, you that know me know that usually every summer I go to a camp. And like this last summer, I went with a group from Appleton, Wisconsin, up to Canada to a thing called the Canadian Adventure. And every day we would go on a different adventure. We'd get in canoes, and we'd canoe across the lake, and then we'd hike up the side of a mountain till we got under, we got to where a waterfall was, and then we'd swim in the waterfall. I mean, it was great. Or I go up to the camp that our kids go up to, Silver Birch Ranch, and it's a blast, you know. Kayaking, I mean, it's just everything that you could want to do when you're at a camp. But the most unusual camp I ever went to, and I went there, I think, three times, was to an all-Japanese camp. And this is when our kids, Sarah and Matt, were younger. And so you can imagine, all the people around us were Japanese, and it was a family camp. I just spoke to the high schooler. So it was Japanese families, and then our two blonde-haired kids. And they would go with the kids program, and I noticed wherever they went, I don't want to be stereotypical, but adults would follow with cameras going choo 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 choo, like taking pictures everywhere. Well, my responsibility there was to deal with the high schoolers. I'll tell you, it was the most unusual camp for this reason. When I asked them, what would you like me to teach on, they wanted me to teach on apologetics. Most of our camps, you know, you have a Bible time that's maybe an hour or two, maybe in a day. They had an hour of free time. I knew I was in some deep water when the first night I got there, they were doing a crowd breaker called tic-tac-toe, easy game, right? And you sat in chairs down the side, and you were in a numbered order, so if there was a five on this side, there was a five on that side, and they would ask a question, and whoever answered it, then your team could go out. If I was on the X team, I could put an X where I wanted if I beat the other person. Sounds pretty easy, right? The questions were high-level mathematic questions. So they wanted to include me, which was maybe one of their big mistakes. And they left the chair, and I went and sat between a girl on this side and a boy on this side. And I had never met them before. They didn't know me, you know, they didn't know me from the man in the moon. And I sat down in my usual self going, you know what, guys, if there's a math question, I'm not going to be able to get it. And, like, I'm a pastor, but I don't mind you cheating and telling me the answer. And they didn't laugh. And so I looked at the girl to my left, and I said, so, tell me a little bit about yourself, you know, before, where are you in high school? I could tell she was young, and she goes, I'm 16, and I just graduated. And I said, oh, so you do pretty good in academics. She goes, well, I do pretty good. I wasn't valedictorian. I was salutatorian. And I said, where are you going to school? And she said, Stanford. And I said, wow, that's expensive. She goes, well, I'm going on a scholarship, so that helps. I knew how deep the water was. I knew that was a waste of time. So I turned to the boy on this side. How you doing? How old are you? I'm 15. Really? So are you a freshman or a sophomore? I just graduated. I said that. That's crazy. This girl just graduated. He goes, I know, that's my sister. Well, do you know she was salutatorian? He goes, I know, I was valedictorian. So I knew I was in trouble. So I did my best. They probably should have had Pastor Steve come and teach, right? That would have made more sense. I did my best. I trudged right through the deepest stuff that I could get through. And, oh, let me just tell you this. They had a book table. And I remember one of the leaders goes, hey, there's a book table in the back. If you want to, make sure you check the book out and then get it back as soon as you finish reading. And I'm going, you mean they're going to read a book, like, while they're here? And I'm not kidding. Every one of them's checking a book out afterwards. They're walking. I'm walking to supper. They're walking. Like, I'm afraid they're going to walk into a tree or a bear, you know? They're walking and they're reading as they're walking. So, it's pretty lost. We got to the end of the week, and the music leader said to me, hey, Tim, we're going to do a communion, and we're wondering if you could lead that communion service. And I'm thinking, you know, I only know about the bread and the blood. That's it. You know, I mean, if you need deep stuff, I don't know. And he goes, no, really, can you handle this? And I said, yeah, I can. I remember walking into the room that we were in. There's a little bit stifled heat in the room. And I'm thinking, oh, man, whew, this could be painful. And I started to share with them not just about the head knowledge of Christ's death, Christ's sacrifice, but how personal that is to us and how that we're never going to get that just in thought, but that we need God's Spirit to breathe a breath on us. And I finished with what I was saying and thought, you know, that went nowhere. The leader got up and said, what we're going to do is we're not going to serve the elements. We're just going to ask you to pray where you're praying, and when you're ready, when you're ready, then you come up and get your elements. And I remember one of the youth leaders came and said, Tim, can I pray with you? And I said, sure, because I need it. Man, we need something. And he started praying, and he said, Lord, help me to understand you in a breath way. Like blow a breeze. And you guys know I'm not, you know, well, let me just tell you how this dramatic thing and this dramatic thing happened. This was unbelievable to me. As we were there on our knees, we were close to a window. And as he said those words in this stifled room, I felt this breeze. I thought it's just me. You know, yay, God, thanks for that. Thanks for letting me know, you know, I'm not the biggest dope at speaking at a camp. That you still care about me. That I'm okay. And then the young man that was praying just started to break down and sob. And he said, thanks for answering my prayer. Thanks for giving me that physical breath. But Lord, thanks that it goes deeper. That right now, your wind is coming through my... I couldn't believe it was one of the guys that was at this camp. Up till then, you know, they wanted to know about hyper-dispensationalism. I just stayed there and prayed. And then the youth leader grabbed me by the shoulder and he said, Tim, could you look up for a second? And I looked up, and all around the room, these little groups or individuals who I knew had intelligence through the roof were just sobbing. They were just crying. You know what? Not because I was a fantastic speaker. But because God's Holy Spirit is wind. God's Holy Spirit is fire. Well, we had a lot of relationships that came out of that. One of them went to U of I, and he went into one of the campus ministries, and he called me and said, hey, I know it's a long drive down here for you, but you could come down. We have, you know, this Bible study. And I'm thinking a group of, you know, 15, 16 Asian students and walk into a room of almost 500. And what I know is that wind that comes in can become a fire. But that only happens when it's God's presence. We've talked about this, this dynamic. It's mysterious, it's powerful, it's explosive. It is a flame, but it's God's presence. And it's not just about understanding things in your head. It's not just about getting answers, and that's part of it. But it's bigger than that. I had a friend that was a youth pastor in at Northside Gospel Center. Anybody hear of a ministry called Awana before? Awana started at Northside Gospel Center. And I would go down, another youth pastor and I, the three of us would meet every month, and we would go down to meet him at Northside Gospel Center when it was our turn to come there. And we'd walk in, he'd say, oh, stop, before you come in my office. Take your shoes off, because this is holy ground, because this is where Awana was started. And this is, let me just tell you now, he's in Northern California. He pastors the largest missionary alliance church in America. And he's written a number of books. He is brilliant. He's the only pastor I know that reads every word that he says, but you would never know he was reading it. And he's got it down to such a science that he can tell you if he has X amount of words, how many minutes and seconds it's going to take him to do that presentation. But this guy is, he's brilliant. And anybody years ago hear about the Toronto miracle? And there was one going on in Canada, and there was one going on down in Florida. Well, Bill is theological enough that he's pretty skeptical. And so he took a trip up to Toronto. And this revival was going on every day, and it had been going on for weeks and months, and people were coming, and things were happening, like that day of Pentecost. Things were happening. And he went in with all the skepticism you could go in with. And about a week later, he came home, and he called me and said, can I come and talk to you and Deb? And he came out, remember, we were sitting in Lino's, and he goes, I don't even want to tell anybody this. Like, I don't even know what to say. But I went to this, and they had a time of prayer, and they asked for God's Spirit to fill us and fill the room. And he said, I looked around, and some people were crying, and this was the crack-up of all crack-ups. Some people were laughing. In his head, he goes, man, that's crazy. But if I had to choose, he said this, if I had to choose, I'd sure want the crying, not the laughing. He went back the second night, same thing. Went back the third night. And in a moment of openness, simply saying, God, if there's something about this that I've shut down from you, open it up. And then he wanted to describe it's laughing joy. And he looked at Deb and I, is that crazy? And we go, no, it's not crazy. And he goes, so it's happened to you? And we go, no, that would be crazy. And he said, why are you shocked by it? And I said, Bill, it's simply this. God wants all of us. And up to this point in your life, you've given him all of your intelligence. You've given him all of that. But you've only given him a small piece of your emotion. And to get to that part of you, he really had to break the dam. And when he did, guess what? You laughed uncontrollably. Was such a dramatic change in his ministry, in his life. So when I put up that it's basic, wind is basic, water is basic, and fire is basic, I don't want to eliminate the other part of the equation in that God's Spirit is miraculous. And it's about his presence. Here's the second thing I think that Acts 2 is about, not just God's presence, but it's about passion. Think when he talks about fire, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about what lights you up, what moves you in a direction. And when he talks about the Holy Spirit, he's saying, this is where we connect with God. And in connecting with God, Find passion. Why is Jim Benning down in Haiti right now? Why? This is why. Because there's a basic need. There are people that have great needs there. But because God's done something miraculous in his own heart. And so just like was described there, that they started sharing God's wonders with other people groups. That's why. Because it changes you. It gives you a passion to do things you wouldn't have had unless God's Spirit connected with you. It's this fire that may start out small. And the more time you spend in God's presence, the bigger that flame gets. And now there may be things that come into your life that try and douse that flame, but because God's Spirit is eternal, the more we stay in his presence, the greater that flame gets. Adding baskets of hope at the last minute. You know, I think there's people who go, don't you guys think you're doing what you can already? I mean, why are you adding this? Well, we're adding it because a need was presented. Mary and I were there, and it was a need that we looked at the people of our church and said, if we can help with that, yay. If we can help two families have a Thanksgiving, a Christian holy day, and Christmas, yay. That's what we want to do. Somebody's talking to me. Let me read a passage from Luke 24. Jesus died. He's been resurrected. There's confusion with his disciples. Listen to this. That very day, two of the disciples were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were walking with each other, and they were talking with each other about these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, later on I'm sure he felt like, oh man, oh me, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" You know, I mean, inside, you know, internally, Jesus is going to be going, I'm pretty familiar with it. And he said to them, "What things?" And they said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. "Moreover, some of the women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive." Do you get what they're saying? Like, we want to believe these ladies, but it's kind of crazy. "Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it. It was just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets." So listen, any of you that want to talk about the length of my messages or Pastor Steve's, just underline this, okay? Because Jesus started at Moses and all the prophets, all right? I love this. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acts as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them." That was the moment, right? That was the moment. "And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened up to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told him what happened on the road and how he'd known them, known to them in the breaking of bread." Do you get that, what he says there? "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened up to us the scriptures. So I'm saying this, whether it's here on a Sunday morning when it connects with scripture, or it's as you're moving through the week, when your heart burns connected to God, that's God's Spirit. That's God's Spirit connecting with us. That's God's Spirit, not just in presence, but in building passion. What I'd say is, don't push that away. That's not heartburn, okay? That's passion burn. Well, there's this presence, and there's this passion, and then there's this purifying. So, Sasha, could you go ahead and put up both verses, Proverbs 17 and 1 Peter? Proverbs 17 says it very clear. Fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but the Lord tests the heart. 1 Peter says, these trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you don't see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with glorious and inexpressible joy. If you had that moment, you know, again, when I was listening to Beatrice talk, and then we started to sing a song that I wasn't familiar with, but saw the words and heard the music. But man, that's good. That's rich. My heart connects with that. Even though I haven't seen Jesus, my heart connects with that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's this fire. That's a fire that, just like the offerings in the Old Testament, was a fire given by God, maintained by the priest. That's us. And any other fire was unacceptable. That's God's fire. It is about his presence that builds passion. And in his presence, he purifies us. Let me talk a little bit about the purify, okay? God wants to get out every roadblock that stops us from being fully who he made us to be. This is not about a list of do's and don'ts. This is about God wanting to remove any obstacle that stops us from being fully who he made us to be. How many of you are grandparents here? And he wants you to be fully alive as grandparents. That means spoil those grandkids all you can with no guilt about it at all. How many of you are parents here? And he's given you a big job. Fully alive is a parent who loves and leads. Like loves clearly and leads clearly. And he wants to take out any obstacle that might stop that. How many married here today? Boy, you looked exhausted there. You should have seen the couples. The last 2 days, they'd have gone, I am. Little do they know. He just wants to clear out obstacles that stop you and your spouse from knowing each other completely, loving each other completely, cheering for each other completely. The purification process isn't about a list of do's and don'ts. It's about God wanting me to be fully alive in him. And what he wants is, he wants to use this flame to burn up those obstacles and purify the strong things in our lives. That's the breeze. That's a stifling hot day at a camp. But a cool breeze came in. And not just felt it here, but felt it here. Let's bow for prayer. Dear God, help us to get you. Help us to love being in your presence. To allow you to build passion and take away any obstacles, anything that limits us from being fully alive, fully who you created us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand. So I have one more verse for you. So Sash, could you put that 1 Thessalonians 5:19? If you look at this passage, there's a bunch of just little planks, almost bumper sticker kind of things that it says. And in the middle of all that, it says this, do not quench the Spirit. The picture in the Jewish mind was, don't put out the fire. And don't let anything put out the fire that God started in your soul. That's what it's saying. And so, when we're dismissed today, maybe this whole thing is so mysterious that you're going, God, I don't get it. I just want to be in your presence, but I don't know how that happens. I want this passion. I want you to build it. I don't know how that happens. I want you to purify. I don't know how that happens. It's this. Let's just take the fire that he put in there and let's feel it. Let's let him build it. And let's us not do anything that pours cold water on it. And that's keeping that fire going. It's burning and it's burning brighter. And as it does, man, Jim can go to Haiti. We can help a couple families with baskets of hope, and then who knows what else. I hope it's a good day. I hope it's a good series for you. I'm looking forward to next week. We look at the Holy Spirit symbolized by water. Let me finish with prayer, okay? Lord, thanks. Keep the fire burning. Help us to be aware that we can quench it or we can allow something to quench it. Help us to connect. And when we feel that burning in our hearts, just like those two guys walking with Christ, that we'll know it's you. We'll know it's your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.